Hello again, friends. Welcome to another low-budget presentation. We are so thankful that you've given of your time. And we're here in the beautiful Castle Gardens again in Lisburn. If you ever get a chance to visit the town, spend a few moments just looking around these gardens. A lot of history here and some nice scenery as well. And a beautiful view just from where I'm looking behind the camera across to the County Down. Quite a nice place. Last time we thought about the Garden of Eden, the garden where everything went wrong. But then there's another garden that I like to consider in John's Gospel, chapter 18. In fact, it features as well in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. And that's the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me just read a verse or two from John's Gospel and the 18th chapter. Jesus Christ has just been in the upper room with his disciples. He spent a long time speaking to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. John 17 records the great prayer, the high priestly prayer of our Lord. And then we read in John 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And that, of course, was the Garden of Gethsemane. Many years ago, my wife and I, just shortly after we were married, went on a trip to Israel. And one of the highlights of that trip was visiting the Garden of Gethsemane. It's one of the most authentic sites in the Holy Land. It's situated, as it says here in the Bible, in the Kidron Valley, just between the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Right down in the depths of that valley, you've got the Garden of Gethsemane. And even to this day, there are olive trees all throughout that garden. And many people believe that those olive trees are as old as the Bible itself, 2,000 years old. And those olive trees were used, of course, to harvest olives. And then they were pressed and put under intense pressure, and the olive oil was extracted from them. And shortly before going to the cross, the Lord Jesus entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. He took his disciples with him. Some of them lingered at the gates of the garden. Peter, James and John entered a little bit further in. And the Bible says that there the Saviour prayed. His soul was exceeding sorrowful. He began to be very heavy. He fell on his face. The Bible says his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And there in that garden he prayed. And he looked into a bitter cup. And that cup represents the wrath of God upon our sins. And it prefigured him enduring the wrath of God upon Calvary's cross, drinking damnation dry. And in the garden, we see the Lord's humanity. Jesus Christ was God, the eternal God manifest in the flesh. And there in that garden, he prayed before his Father, three times saying the same words, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, or let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there in that garden, in the shadow of the cross, the Saviour afresh consecrated and surrendered his life, his will, his purposes completely into the hands of God the Father. And he was steadfast and resolute that he was going to go to the cross. And on that cross, he would suffer and bleed and die for our sins. And as the last Adam, he would undo everything that the first Adam had done in the Garden of Eden. And he would reverse the curse. He would be made a curse for us. He would take the curse for us so that we could be set free and have everlasting life and be reconciled to God and to be brought into the family and fold of God. So the Garden of Gethsemane, deeply significant in the life and ministry of our Saviour. And yet there's a sense in which every Christian ought to be able to pray those words, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And it's those words, not my will, but thine be done. Those are the words that every child of God, every Christian, every person rather, born into this world needs to learn how to pray from the heart. It's not about my will. It's not about my name. It's not about my kingdom. The Christian is called to be selfless. The Christian is called to be surrendered. The Christian is called to offer his life, his body, as a living sacrifice. I wonder if you ever got to that place in your life, alone with God, maybe down in the valley, seeking the face of God and just surrendering your life unreservedly to Him. Father, not my will, but thine be done. I trust that you'll get to that place and that you'll follow in the footsteps of the Saviour, and that the Lord will take us up in these days and use us in some way for His glory. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we will see you again next time. God bless you. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.